Mikhail Gorbachev Meets His Maker is the title of an interesting article recently written by best-selling author Dr. Paul Kanger. Dr. Kanger writes, first, most of the world will focus on Gorbachev's role in the collapse of the USSR and invoke him as the hero of Soviet disintegration. The truth is not so tidy. End quote. We're going to talk right now with Dr. Paul Kanger on Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. By the way, Dr. Paul Kanger is a best-selling author. He's also a professor of history and political science at Grove City College. And Dr. Kanger, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, same here, Jerry. Always good to talk to you. Thanks.
Sure. Okay, so let's talk about this. First of all, I think a lot of Americans today really don't understand the degree of the evilness of the Soviet Union, which began in 1917 and just imploded under Gorbachev, you know, at the very end, 1991. But why don't you give us just a quick history lesson on the Soviet Union? And if you don't mind, you could even contrast it with America's founding fathers in America, because, frankly, a lot of Americans today almost they say more bad things about America than they do about the Soviet Union. So I'm going to sit back and just let you lecture as a college professor.
Well, I'll give you one of my favorite data points. There was a survey done about 10 or 15 years ago by the Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation, and they found that 30% of Americans believe that George W. Bush killed more people than Joseph Stalin. Okay, that's an actual 30% believe that George W. Bush killed more than Joseph Stalin. So, yeah, you know, that tells you a lot. Of course, Stalin killed tens of millions of people. Alexander Yakovlev, who was Gorbachev's chief reformer and died just a few years ago, he said he was given the job at the end of the Cold War of trying to tally up the body bags. And he published a book with Yale University Press called A Century of Violence in Soviet Russia. Yakovlev said that Stalin alone annihilated 60 to 70 million people. So, and books like The Black Book of Communism by Harvard University Press estimated something like 20 to 25 million dead under Soviet communism. So the numbers vary, but it was tens of millions of people. And then on top of that, well, really part of this, there was this institutionalized militant atheism, this hatred of religion. And Mikhail Gorbachev would refer to it as a wholesale war on religion. Gorbachev said atheism took rather savage forms in our country. And one of the things that Gorbachev tried to do with his glasnost was allow for freedom of religion, as well as freedom of press, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly. And he would even go on to repudiate Article 6 of the Soviet Constitution in February 1990. And what that did, Jerry, was that removed the Communist Party of the Soviet Union's monopoly on political power. Up until that point, from 1917 to 1990, there was one political party allowed in the Soviet Union. It was the Communist Party, and that was it. So Gorbachev, by striking down, repudiating that article, literally created political pluralism in the Soviet Union, you know, many political parties. So, you know, those are some of the key things that Gorbachev did that stand out in great contrast to his predecessors going back to 1917.
I'd like you to do me a favor. Could you please just give us a spelling of the last name of the gentleman you mentioned that wrote a book with Yale University Press or Yale?
Yeah. So it's Alexander Yakovlev. So Yakovlev was Y-A-K-O-V-L-E-V. Alexander Yakovlev.
Okay, and he said that maybe Stalin killed as many as 60 to 70 million, maybe?
That's what he said. And in fact, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who did the Gulag Archipelago, he used similar numbers. R.J. Rummel, Lee Edwards, Robert Conquest, they all had numbers, you know, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 million. And really probably the only dictator that killed more people than Stalin, wow, almost certainly, was Mao in China. But Stalin gave him a run for his money. And if Stalin alone annihilated 60 to 70 million people, well, the Soviet population was probably about 150 to 200 million people. So you're talking an enormous number of people. Now they weren't, you know, they weren't all shot or hung or bayoneted, right? Some of them died from starvation. Look what happened in the Ukraine under Stalin with Holodomor, the Ukrainian famine of the 1930s. 5 to 10 million Ukrainians starved to death through a famine that historians now call an intentional genocide committed against the Ukrainian people by Joseph Stalin.
There's a book even called Harvest of Sorrow. It may be written by one of those gentlemen you mentioned earlier, Robert Conquest. Okay, let me quote more from your article here about Gorbachev and his recent death. In reality, Gorbachev's goal, this is you talking, Dr. Paul Kanger. In reality, Gorbachev's goal all along was to preserve the USSR. Unlike Ronald Reagan, whose goal was to break up the Soviet Union, Gorbachev tried to keep it together so much so that he repeatedly used force in several Soviet republics, including the Baltic states, in his final years in power. Now, you don't hear that very much, by the way. To his credit, Gorbachev wanted a kinder, gentler history, or non-totalitarian Soviet Union, even a politically pluralistic one, end quote. Boy, you never hear the American intelligentsia, the elites and so forth that always praise Gorbachev. Probably many of them would condemn Ronald Reagan, but you never hear them saying, well, you know, Gorbachev used force to try and keep some of the Soviet republics together as part of the USSR.
Yeah, it's absolutely right. But he did. And he did that in 1988, 1989, 1990, into 1991. He even tried to win the war in Afghanistan, which went on from 1979 to 1989. I remember a piece in the New Republic, which was, you know, kind of the left's version of National Review, called Gorbachev's Tanks, where, you had these liberals at the New Republic saying, this is an outrage. You know, what happened to this hero of glasnost and perestroika? You know, what are Western liberals thinking? As Gorbachev shows how quickly that he can use, they even use chemical gas in Lithuania and in some of these different Soviet republics. And Gorbachev, until the very end, in fact, he said this in his resignation speech on Christmas Day, December 25th, 1991. He said that he wanted to preserve the Union state. He was all for statehood. He even called the Soviet Union a great country. Right, that sounds like Vladimir Putin, right? You're talking about what a catastrophe it was that this great country, the Soviet Union, fell apart at the end of the 20th century. But Gorbachev was trying to hold it together. Now he did not want a Stalinist Soviet Union. He opened the way for democracy and voting and freedom of speech and press and religion and everything else. But I also quote in that piece for American Spectator, I quote Gorbachev in an interview that he gave to USA Today in April 2006, where he again reaffirmed very carefully that his goal was to keep the Soviet Union together. He said that again and again and again. And by the way, kudos, I read this, Jerry, David Hoffman, the old writer on the Soviet Union for the Washington Post. In his obituary on Gorbachev in the Washington Post, he noted this. He noted that Gorbachev had tried to hold together the Soviet Union. So by the year 2022, guys like me and you saying this and people like me writing books on it and just presenting the evidence, eventually a lot of the people who actually read this stuff came around and said, yeah, it's undeniable. Gorbachev said again and again he was trying to keep it together, and that's clearly what he was trying to do.
You know, it's interesting to me how American elites so often, again, condemn their own country much more than they do a country like the Soviet Union with its incredibly horrible track record. I mean, you yourself are the one, I believe, that found for the whole world a document hidden in the Soviet files, you know, until they released all this stuff in the early 1990s. But I guess Senator Ted Kennedy wrote a letter to Yuri Andropov, one of Gorbachev's predecessors as the head of the Soviet Union, saying, hey, a lot of us here in America, we don't like that cowboy in the White House talking about Ronald Reagan any more than you do. Something to that effect. That almost seems treasonous to me.
Oh, that was an unbelievable letter. That was in May 1983. So it's in my book, The Crusader. It's in my book, Dupes. In fact, in Dupes, we published both the original, a PDF, of a duplicate of the original letter in the KGB files, the Committee on State Security, the KGB and the Soviet Union. And we also published the English translation. And Ted Kennedy says in there, Jerry, that he's, quote-unquote, very impressed with the Soviet leader, very impressed with Andropov, but he's, you know, completely unimpressed with Reagan. And in fact, connecting this to Gorbachev, Andropov was a monster. If Andropov had lived and not died in 1984, we would have been left with Gorbachev would not have come into power in Reagan's second term, and you and I would not be having this conversation that we're holding today. So, you know, Andropov was a really bad guy, and leave it to somebody like Ted Kennedy, who also at the same time was ridiculing Reagan's strategic defense initiative as, quote, reckless Star Wars schemes, right? Comparing Reagan to Darth Vader, ridiculing it, belittling it, which just shows what an absolute fool in so many ways Ted Kennedy was.
You know, it's interesting, Paul, when we're hearing so many bad things these days about America's founding fathers, you never hear that, you know, in contrast, let's say, about Lenin or Stalin. You know, what are your thoughts when you know, their schools changing their names? Oh, we can't be named after Thomas Jefferson. That man owned slaves.
Right. Yeah. Is it not amazing, right? You have founders of the Soviet state like Lenin, who said, quote, all worship of a divinity is a necrophilia. Quote, there is nothing more abominable than religion, unquote. Religion is like venereal disease. He said religion is a kind of spiritual booze, the opiate of the masses. And compare that to people like Thomas Jefferson, who gave you freedom of religion, who gave you all these different freedoms. And not just Jefferson, Madison. They're going after Madison, too. Yeah. The founders were imperfect. Yeah, and it's okay. Yeah, I got a news here for liberals, okay? The Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. was imperfect, too, okay? Read some of the stuff that David Garrow, the wonderful King biographer who adores King, has reported on King and women, right? And it's okay because people are flawed. They're flawed. All right, but you know, Jefferson and Madison and the founders, for the flaws that they had, including owning slaves, whereas they were personally against slavery, they knew it was morally wrong, but they still had slaves. But what they did was nothing compared to the monstrous behavior of people like Lenin and Stalin and Mao, who enslaved entire populations. Who banned the right to own property, as well as speech and religion and assembly and everything else.
Okay, we have 1 minute left, and in your article, you actually mentioned about Gorbachev that perhaps he was a closet Christian, or at least there was maybe even that possibility?
Yeah, Ronald Reagan became obsessed with that, Jerry. November 1985, Geneva Summit, Reagan came back, and he had heard so many religious references by Gorbachev, like, you know, let's pray we never have war. God help us. You know, phrases like that. The Reagan came back and told Mike Deaver and others, he said, I think the leader of the evil empire might actually be a closet Christian.
Wow.
And he later found out that Gorbachev was baptized by his Russian Orthodox Church mother. That three of his four grandparents were Christian. So, you know, Gorbachev was highly respectful of religion. He didn't hate religion. And we never found out, because he was quiet about this till, you know, till the day he died, as far as we know. But it's quite possible that Gorbachev might well have been a Christian. And Reagan would have looked at that and said, well, that's divine providence.
Wow.
That's divine providence.
Dr. Paul Kanger, thank you so much for being with us. Faithandfreedom.com for more information. All the best.
You got it, Jerry. Thanks so much.